Oliver Callan on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Get Set Go. Get comprehensive car insurance today at getsetgo.ie.
Now, the WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32. It's hopping this morning on questions for gardening because Alma Purcell is back with us. She's the self-taught, accidental, happy-clappy gardener that we spoke to before. She runs the Poppy Garden. It's Oldcastle, isn't it?
Old County Meath.
Lovely place. And you can visit and get a tour there, you were telling us. Not this time of the year, I presume.
No, when May comes around again, we'll be fully open.
Oh, you'll tell us all that when you come around to it. So getting the garden sorted for the winter months. More questions are still welcome. Oliver at rte.ie. Thanks for driving up. Where did you drive down from today? Were you in Cavan or something?
Yeah, I drove up from Oldcastle, and Daddy is from Castlerahan, and just a couple miles down the road, so he came up for the jaunt.
He's with you?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's fantastic. Now, we promise people we talk about leaves and what to do with them.
Yes.
We've watched them all falling down, blowing around the place. People probably just left them there if they haven't cut the grass since. Is that a good idea?
Well, if they're too heavy, if there's a big thick layer on your grass, I would get rid of them, you know, rake them up, and don't just waste them. Like, leaves are a super, you can make them into a thing called leaf mould. If you want to make a little bay for them out of a bit of chicken wire or, you know, anything.
Store them in the corner.
Store them, tip them in there for a year, let them kind of decompose down.
You'd have to turn them the odd time.
Not necessarily. It's not like compost. It's just after a year. You know when you go into a forest and the forest floor is this lovely, soft, crumbly? That's all leaf mould from generations and generations. So basically, you can use that in your garden. So a little spot somewhere, or if you don't have a spot like that, just get a black plastic bag, fill it with your leaves, poke a few holes in it for ventilation, hose a little bit of water in, tie a knot in your bag and just throw it behind the shed for a year, and when you come back next year you have your leaf mould.
That's for the bedding, is it?
Yeah, it's super then as a mulch on your beds.
As a mulch?
Yeah, okay, or you can
keep the weeds down.
It'll keep the weeds down. A good thick layer of that, a couple of inches of that, looks well, goes around your plants, keeps the weeds down, and the worms then will come up and incorporate it. That's what they do in nature. They'll come up and they'll bring it down into the soil and it does so many jobs. It keeps moisture in, it keeps weeds out, it makes the soil better because it's going into the soil and feeding them with different nutrients and stuff.
Brilliant.
And what's the other thing I was going to say about leaf mould? Yeah, if it's on paths and stuff like that, if it's slippy and dangerous,
clear
them
off
your path.
That's the job to do.
But if it's fallen on beds around like shrubs and trees, leave them. You know, a nice thick layer.
So it's just the grass. Does it harm the grass?
No, yes, if it's too thick. But if it's only one leaf thick, it's grand.
It blocks out all the light, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
Elaine has a question. My husband trimmed the bark on the side of my favourite tree. Will the tree die?
Not if it's just one side. Probably not. If he had done the whole way around,
the whole ring, is it
the husband might die. But the tree should be all right. If he had ringed it the whole way around, that's death territory. But if it's only one side.
Nutrients travelling.
It's like a vascular system. It's the life sap of the tree.
Would you be bandaging it or trying to do anything?
No, they used to, years ago, apparently from books I've read, there was wound ointment and stuff. But that's kind of gone out of favour now. They reckon that most wounds will heal themselves. And if it's only one side he's trimmed, then hopefully the tree and the husband would be safe.
Very good. I'd say the most common thing people come up to will be asking about bulbs this time of year, planting them. Could the ground be sopping wet after all the rain and so on? Does it matter?
If it's really, really wet, you're walking on wet ground and you're compacting it and you're making a mess and it's not pleasant anyway. So you're better off just not wait for a nice dry day. Can't be frosty either because you know yourself. So nice dry day and just get your bulbs in. The general thinking is 3 times the depth of the bulb.
All right.
So if the daffodil bulb and it's like, I don't know, 2 inches, then go down 6 inches. If it's a tiny little crocus or allium bulb, you could nearly press it into soft soil with your finger. You know, it only has to go down that deep. If you're doing them in pots and you have a good big pot, you can do a thing called lasagna planting. So you know when you're making a lasagna for your dinner and it's all layers?
Yeah.
So you can layer bulbs in a pot.
Very good.
So put your big thick bulbs, your biggest bulbs on the bottom layer right down near that.
They'll shoot up anyway.
They'll come up anyway. Put on another layer of compost. Put your medium-sized bulbs, another layer of compost, and then all your lovely little tiny bulbs. Top layer of compost.
And the small ones would be like the likes of the crocuses.
Muscari. There's loads of little bulbs like that. And then you can actually do another layer on top, your little primulas or violas or something, something to look at through the winter.
I had a load of alliums fail on me 1 year. Is it wet ground or what would have happened?
Most bulbs like drainage. Yeah, they can rot. They can rot on wet ground.
That's probably what happened.
Is that the stony grey soil I'm on?
Near enough anyway. Come here, what do we do with snowdrops? Is it too late? too late to plant snowdrop bulbs?
Snowdrops, it's not too late to plant the bulbs, but most people wouldn't buy them as bulbs. Snowdrops have a much greater success rate when you buy them in the green.
Oh, I
which
see.
Which basically means they dig them up after flowering in springtime and then you can buy them literally the little bit, the clump of earth and the
shoot. So they've already been plugged into the ground.
They're much more successful that time. Yeah, I think you can actually even buy them in garden centres that time. Or look, snowdrops, like they're so good at multiplying. If you know someone that has a few clumps, just say, you know, buy them a bottle of wine. Can I dig up a clump of your snowdrops? Bring them home, gently separate them into individual snowdrops, then plant them out with a bit of room between them. And before you know it, you'll have a big clump of snowdrops.
This will be in January, February this'll when they're
in bloom. Yeah, when they finish flowering.
When they're finished flowering. So that's kind of into March kind of territory.
I suppose it would be for some varieties.
Everything's kind of changed. What other things would you do to, at this time of the year?
Oh my Lord, where do you start? Everything. It's just like the whole winter. And I said to myself, like in October, you know, I have November, December, January, February, March, April before I open again, 6 whole months. November's nearly gone. And what have we done? Very little. You know, so there's the whole...
You're yourself under pressure.
Oh, it's I don't know why I think gardening is zen. It's not. It's horrendous. So obviously you have to clean out all your beds. But, you know, if you have a small garden, don't put yourself under pressure. The weather will actually do a lot of the work for you. It takes, you know, the frost and the cold weather like we're having right now, it kind of destroys all the cells in all your herbaceous perennials and stuff and it breaks them down. And you can see them, you know, gradually as the weeks go on getting less strong and kind of falling into the ground like they've been on the beer for a few weeks.
Yeah.
And you know, that takes so much volume out. And then when you come to cut them down, half the work is done for you. And they're half decomposed already. So when you throw them on the compost heap, you know, half the job is done.
What about the perennials? You'd have to kind of clip them down, the salvias?
Yeah, I would. Your salvias, you should actually probably have dug up and brought into a shed or a greenhouse stage. Unless you're in a city or a very warm garden.
The frost will whip them.
The frost will whip. There's some of them are hardy, but most of them aren't. And salvias would be one of the things, if you are leaving it outside, leave it till springtime. Leave all the top growth on it.
Right.
Even protect it with a bit of fleece or straw. And then when the frost is over, you can come in and cut it down. Most other perennials you can cut back over the winter. But just something, do it in stages. Some perennials are, you know, they're great habitat for all your insects and your invertebrates.
Okay.
And some of them actually, like there's one thing called Phlomus russellania. Brilliant. He's these little whirls of yellow flowers all summer and he's a great spreader. He'll take over a whole area for you. But the little whirls dry out in the winter and each little one is a little compartment. So it's like an apartment block for insects. I'd often wonder, do they all know which house is theirs, you know, which one to go into? So anyway, I believe in the likes of him, that's good habitat, but then some of them die really badly. Oh, like awful deaths, like dirty, disgusting.
Like
I'm looking now at home at the minute at a big, big stand of goldenrod, solidago, and it's just gone black.
Is it?
Yeah,
slimy.
It's horrible. But if I go in and take him out of that bed, all the evergreens around them will look amazing again. Mm. It's like housekeeping.
Yeah. Do you know the perennial, the big kind of geranium style plants, the perennials outside that spread? I think they're called geraniums. They're usually blue
or
white.
Yeah, hardy geraniums.
The hardy geraniums.
Yes.
They kind of die out on their own, don't they?
Yeah, and just something, they're one of the ones you could nearly leave for the cold weather. And instead of cutting it back, you can nearly just get your hands in there and pull it out.
They dry very easily, don't they dry off? But the next springtime, really.
Springtime,
kind of do that, don't you?
It's, once you've all the dead stuff gone by springtime, then you'll get all the lovely
explode,
new growth.
And they spread beautifully.
They are brilliant plants. Like your hardy geranium is the easiest thing in the world.
Yes.
It spreads easily. And every couple of years, you can dig it up and divide it and replant it. So you're getting more plants.
When would you do the digging up now?
I would do it in autumn or spring.
Okay.
Like autumn's a grand time as well. We might have just gone past it now with the cold weather. But
you mentioned the fleece there. What are your thoughts on fleece cover for plants? How do you utilise them properly? I've covered everything in my greenhouse. Are they safe now?
They should be. If they're in a greenhouse, that's half the battle. And then if you have the fleece on them, you're doing great, I would say.
Speaking of hardy plants, the hydrangea plants, still full of blooms, have grown very tall. Am I okay to prune them back now? My garden is sheltered in Dublin, says Kate. That would make sense.
Do you know, I'm not going to tell you to prune them back because I don't know which variety they are. If they're mop heads, even though you're in Dublin, which is obviously near the coast and it's got a much less chance of frost, you could get a hard frost. And then if you prune them now, you will destroy next year's flowers.
Are the roundy heads the mop heads or the more pointed ones?
The pointed ones are paniculatas. Now, the roundy heads, the old style ones that you remember your granny's hats.
Yeah.
Right. They're the mop heads. And you need to leave those heads on until the frosts are gone next spring.
Right.
They'll pretty much have disintegrated by then anyway.
Yeah, because the temptation is to cut them now.
The temptation is to cut them
gone.
Because they're ratty looking. But try and leave them if you can. Okay. And that protects next year's little buds that are underneath them. But then there's another new hydrangea that was introduced, say, in the last couple of decades called Annabelle. Mm-hmm. And that's the one with the big, massive white heads.
Yeah.
I mean, you've seen her. She's amazing.
The butterflies love
them. Oh, my God.
Showstoppers.
Yes, showstopper. Now, she is unreal because you can leave her, don't prune her, or you can cut her to the ground. That's what I do with mine every year.
Indestructible.
Cut her right to the ground. And what happens then is she gets bigger heads next year. So if you don't prune her,
right, okay.
the bush maybe is a bit bigger next year and you'll have more flowers, but they're smaller.
Be patient.
Yeah. But if you cut her right to the ground, you'll have less flowers, but they're amazing.
And they're bigger. They're the bigger kind of pointed headed ones.
No, that's
they?
The big roundy one.
OK, so the one that you, the new one, are they the ones that have little separate kind of, I don't know how to describe the bloody hydrangea.
They're just some, there's loads of hydrangeas. So you have your paniculatus with the triangly heads, so the pointy lads.
Yeah, yeah.
Annabelle with the big round white heads.
I'm more worried myself. I got the pointy ones. What do I do? I forget.
Oh, my Lord. I'm sure you've...
Do I cut the pointy hydrangeas?
Will
I cut the pointy ones now?
You can cut the pointy ones if you want, but you can leave them if
leave
you want
them
to go
grand.
Bigger.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Sorry if I've confused people. I have skimmias in pots at the front door. They're gone yellow despite me feeding them acidic plant food. Any ideas?
Skimmias in pots at the front door.
They're the ones with lovely berries this time of year.
Right now you have, so there's Skimmia rubella, which is a lovely kind of maroon coloured flower, and then that becomes white in the springtime. And then you have like Temptation with little red berries and white berried ones. They're fabulous and they're really good this time of year. Mm-hmm. If she's fed them an acidic plant food, they're not actually acidic loving plants. A lot of people think but they're hungry plants, and that's why they go yellow, and especially in pots. People tend to buy them in the winter time, leave them in a pot for years and years and years. And
but they want to spread.
You can plant them in the garden or put them in a bigger pot, feed them in springtime. And also, if they're in full sun at your front door, I would move them into a shady area. They like shade.
So a bigger pot would seem to be the answer there. And don't give them any more acidic plant food.
Yeah, just give it a general purpose plant.
The acers look beautiful this time of the year, especially the ones that turn yellow and so on. Some of them just stay the kind of purple leaf. Do you ever trim an acer?
There's so many websites you can go onto. Like people who do bonsai and people who do kind of topiary and so on. You can go into an acer and you can cut out branches to give that lovely windswept, elegant look.
They
and
have
all
the kind of wispy bits, you know.
They can. Don't go in now like a lunatic with a pair of shears and just trim.
They're very delicate, aren't they?
Yeah, it looks terrible if they're just chopped like, you know, you chop a normal shrub. They need proper stand back, look, judge it. Pretend you're a Japanese fella and you're looking at it and you want to get a nice elegant shape. And now some people do cloud pruning on them. That's another thing altogether. You can make a mess of them as well.
It's
like anything, you know, cut, what's the saying? Measure twice and cut once. Same with plants. You can put your prunings back on. So be careful. Take a branch off. Stand back. Look at it. Come in again. And just, you know, gradually. And I wouldn't prune them at this time of year either. It's gone cold. Your acer, I'd leave until springtime.
Yeah, because there's a very small window, isn't there, to do it right?
Most things you can prune over winter. Yeah, like most deciduous plants you could do over winter, no bother.
So springtime, would it be budding? Would it be starting to...
Before the buds
just
break.
Before that.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And same with evergreen shrubs and hedges as well.
That's the hot tip. I sowed winter potatoes and the wet weather totally flattened the stalks. Should I just dig them up now? Asked Catherine.
I'd say they'd be all right. It's the stalks, once they were earthed up before then, like it's just the stalks, I'd keep earthing them up.
And that's kind of normal.
Yeah, or dig a few up and see what they're like. I mean, they'll still be growing underground, I'd say.
You wouldn't leave them in for too long.
Well, if they're winter potatoes, they should be...
They'd be okay.
...barely ready anyway.
You're very confident, just like...
Dig up a few and see what they're like.
This is a question now I think everyone will always ask about. Pruning roses. These are climbing roses. Michael, Dublin 12.
Oh, Lordy. Try and get a framework. So, a nice framework. And the thing with roses, any rose, is that if you can pin a branch down more to the horizontal than the vertical, you're going to get buds breaking all along that and you get loads more flowers. Mm-hmm. So prune off any excess growth that's coming out at you first, Michael. And then when you have a good framework of good, healthy, younger tick stems, try and tie them into a kind of fan shape onto your wall or whatever your support is. And then next spring, you're going to get all the new growth that's going to give you next year's flowers.
They'll grow away like mad.
Yes.
And what is the rule of thumb on roses? You know, when the bloom is gone, you've got that little hard bit
Generally on a rose, they say prune back to a leaf with five little leaflets on it.
Oh, yeah.
And if you just prune a nice sloping cut.
All year round now you can do that.
All year round. Once a flower is gone, you won't be taking it off anyway. So prune back to your five petaled leaf at a slope so that rain's not going to collect and rot it. There should be a new bud coming from there and you should get flowers all year from that.
So you can do that
anytime. All the time.
This is Jenny from Cavan. A friend of mine passed away over a year ago. Her favourite flower was bluebells. So I collected thousands of wild bluebell seeds. Was wondering when is the best time to scatter the seeds and do I need to scatter soil on top of them?
I'd say if you've that many, go for it now with a heap of them and put some soil on top. Not a huge one because they'd be small little seeds. A nice little sprinkle on top.
You don't need to put them in pots first? And
if she has a spot in the ground for them, I'd go for it because you're only faffing putting them in pots and then planting them out.
That's right.
And then she'll save half the seed and plant them in the spring. The bluebells themselves kind of flower April, May time.
Yeah.
And then obviously the seed heads would dry out and that's when they drop their seeds. Ah. So look, she'll have the best both worlds.
She's loads of seeds. You kind of disturb the ground a little bit, do you?
Yeah. So get a little rake and flap up your soil a bit. Just spread your seeds out, cover it with soil and water, and like bluebells spread really, really easily.
Yes. That's lightly on them. They love shade.
They like shade. Well, not necessarily deep shade. You see, they come out before the deciduous trees get their leaves. So they're one of those woodland plants that spring is their time.
Yeah, that's why I always thought you always see them under trees.
Yes.
But they've already come out before the leaves are
blocking
out.
Exactly. Right. We have a lovely woods now near Oldcastle, Mullamine Forest.
Yeah.
I think it's the biggest beech plantation in Europe. And if you go there now when the bluebells are out, it is just like a carpet.
That'd be
unreal. Yeah.
It's magic. Every May.
Every April.
Probably earlier now, yeah.
Fabulous.
These days.
And then the next thing is the beech get all their leaves. It all goes dark underneath and they're gone for another year, but it's worth being there.
There's no time of the year you don't love.
No, there's not really, I suppose.
Is the frost any good for anything, by the way? The frost.
Oh, yeah. Like the frost kills off so many pests and diseases even on plants. So... and like that, it helps break down cells in stuff that has come to the end of its cycle anyway.
This is the big thing for climate change in Ireland, is there were fewer frost nights. We would normally have had frost end of September and October. It's now
I don't know what way it's going to go. There's a guy I know who's very big into science and he's telling me that Ireland is going to end up like Ice Age again. You know, so I mean, I don't know. I don't know whether I want a hotter or summers.
What do we do with hydrangeas in the Ice Age?
I don't know how we do in an Ice Age. I'll be inside with my coat on.
Indoors now, someone says, I would love to know how to treat my indoor jasmine. It's just not doing well.
Oh, Lordy. I have come to the end of my limit on that question. So I'm going to say, I don't know about your indoor. I'm sorry.
It depends on the house and what type of heating, doesn't it? Because there's lots of A-rated now versus drafty houses.
Central heating is hard on indoor plants. So maybe get a little bottle of water and mist it a bit, just to get a bit more humidity.
Very good. Put your finger into the soil. Isn't that the thing? See if there's moisture there.
I'm sure it's probably not drying. I hope it's not just looking for water. But yeah, a bit of humidity. Maybe put it in a bathroom for a couple of days and see if that perks it up a bit. And feed it in the spring. And things like I'm sure that could go outside in the summer for a little holiday. A lot of houseplants enjoy going out in the summer when it's warm enough and it perks them up.
Yeah.
And, you know.
A beautiful Acer tree here. Maureen says it tried to leaf in parts. It didn't. Will it leaf again? Is there anything that I should do to help it?
The bits that didn't leaf this year, if it didn't leaf all year, it's probably dead. But you might have enough left that had leaves on it. And Acers are expensive, so it'll be worth next year. Wait till springtime. If the bits that didn't leaf up this year don't leaf up, then prune them back carefully. And then stand back and look at it and maybe see if the bits that are left that are alive look terrible. Can you prune it a bit more to give it a nice shape again? And if so... feed it.
It could bounce back if there's still life in
it. Oh yeah, I've had lads, like I was in from Cavan, I hate to throw out plants, so I've had Acers dying on me. And
they are very dear.
They are, yeah, exactly. So save them if you can.
People are moving things now. When should I dig up dahlias?
You can dig them up now. If you're moving, now's a great time to move out. As long as the ground's not frozen.
And what do you do? You have to put them into a greenhouse? Or
you can do a few things. I've started leaving mine in the ground because I've raised beds, which is good drainage. And what I do is I just give them a good cover off cardboard, good thick cardboard. And that's gotten them through the last few winters. You know, the big cafe au lait dahlias, like the flowers are like dinner plate size. They're unreal. So they've survived a few winters in the ground. But a lot of people will dig them up. Bring your tuber into the shed or wherever and just put it upside down in a box with paper all around it and let the soil dry and fall off and then just leave them like that for the winter.
Someone says, I feel guilty cutting the hedge as I feel I'm killing the bird's habitat. Am I wrong?
I think, no, you're like this time of year, the birds aren't nesting. So you're legally entitled to cut your hedges at this time of year. And I think you'll see where there's a nest, you know. unless it's a big, mad, tangled hedge and you're doing it with big machinery. But if you're just going around with your hedge cutter, you'd be grand.
I'd say this is a good time of the year for your decorative hedges, your Portuguese laurels and all of those ones.
This is when all your evergreens come into their own. They're like the background players all summer. You don't even notice them. But it's great to have them down the winter because as everything else dies away, they're the structure. So, you know, if you have a nice evergreen hedge or if you have a bit of topiary or conifers, you know, it really gives you something to look at through winter.
Do you clip and prune this time of the year?
Evergreens, I would leave till springtime.
Okay, that's the best time for them. Two questions in on orchids. How do you get an orchid to reflower? Asks Freddie. And Mary in Donegal, orchids, what soil on them, please?
Apologies, Freddie and Mary. I've never grown an orchid. So
have you not?
No. I everything I grow is outside. If it comes into the house, generally it's in that row.
Yes, okay.
Because I forget about them. You know, unless I'm bringing something in to keep it through the winter, I just don't do houseplants.
We won't be asking you exotic plant questions for inside in the meantime. You love this time of the year, so go off and enjoy yourself now.
Okay.
You've got the jobs to do. Your dad is here.
Yeah, Jim George is here. The Farleys are in RTE.
So he's the Cavan man.
He is.
And does he have kind of a different name than...
Well, Jim George is our, how would you put it? It's like a nickname, but it's not really a nickname. It's how people know us because her daddy is from in this little townland called Cranadillan near Virginia, or Virginia, if you're from there. back in the day,
in Virginia,
there was five families of James Farleys in this one little townland. So how do you know one from the other? Right?
Yeah.
So daddy's ancestor at the time was James Farley, obviously. His father was George. So we became the Jim Georges.
You were the Jim Georges?
We were the Jim Georges.
And what did they call you when you go up back up to Cavan?
Oh, we're the Jim Georges, yeah.
And that time now,
but it's still going. All the others, well, the next house down the lane, they were their father was Joseph. They became the Jimmy Josies. Another family became the Jim Charlies. And then you have a geographical one. You have Jimmy of the Rocks and Jimmy of the Lakes. And we still all have those names.
I didn't know there was a whole naming heritage around Cavan.
There you go.
Listen, Alma Purcell of the Poppy Garden in Oldcastle County Meath, thanks a million for coming in again. And we'll chat to you the next time.
Come on, you will.
And we'll fire all the sensible questions at you once again. Slán, and a safe journey to you. Kieran Cuddihy is here to tell us all about Live Lines.
I think the Healy Rays are fall into that category, don't they?
Yeah,
I think their name, it's
the
Ray is additional. And there's Brennan's around Castle Comer and Kilkenny. There's China Brennan's. There's different versions of the Brennan nickname as well, because like that, about 10 Brennan's living in one lane.
How do you tell one from the
other? You don't want to inspect too closely how many have married each other or go too far back along family trees there. I suspect it's the same in Cavan.
Even in Monaghan, we call ourselves the Callans, but the other Callans will call us Collins and we'll call them Collins.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
So that happens all
Othering
over the country.
Going on all over the country. Anyway, what are we talking about? We're talking about hot school meals around the country. So I'd love to actually hear from people who might suggest this has been a resounding success, that it's been transformative in the mornings. They're not making sandwiches. The kids eat all the food and they come home happy. So 0818715815. We have spoken to and we will speak to people who've had a different experience. Lots of food wastage and real question marks over the quality of the food they've been getting. So again, I'd love to hear from people on both sides of this. We're going to speak about housing as well, and a woman in Kildare. This is slightly complicated, but she qualifies for a local authority home loan scheme, which is capped lower than the price of the local authority affordable housing scheme. So we will give you X amount of money to buy a house. And by the way, the houses that we're providing are X plus one. And you're not allowed to add your own money to it. So it just seems like a classic case of the left hand not knowing what the right hand is doing. So 51551, the number on that. And we're talking hobbies as well. A woman is going to speak to us who did Irish dancing up to the ripe old age of 14, gave it up, like a lot of people do at that age, and has taken it back up in her 30s as well. So, you know, I love this because I think we get to about 25 in life and that's when we stop doing new things, most people. You just, you don't do new
things
anymore.
I've tried it all now.
Yeah, exactly. I have my hobbies, I have my friends, I have my local, I have my pint, I have my favourite dinner. So I'd love to hear
from people. And you don't know the people who are doing these hobbies because they tend to meet each other, don't they?
Exactly. So I'd love to hear from people who have just tried something new, whether it's like this person going back to something or just something completely new later in life. So liveline at rte.ie.
Call Kieran. We've loads more to do for the rest of the programme. Don't go away.
Text 51551. Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1.